Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Java Dad Cast. My name is Braden Gerard, and I will be your host. And this week, we have some exciting things to talk about. First, in the coffee section, we're going to be talking about pour over and what is a pour over. Then, when we get to our tech section, we will talk about having good audio and what that means for the work from home environment and some tips and tricks on easy mic setups so that you can have professional level audio for an affordable budget. And finally, in the gaming section, we're going to talk about a new game that recently came out. It hasn't been out for long, as far as out to the public for long, and it seems to be making some noise in the competitive shooter area, and we'll talk about that and what our predictions are for that game. It's also a game that I'm loving and playing a lot of lately, so I've got some interesting things to talk about there. So first, let's get into the coffee. So about, I don't know, maybe a month ago, I was talking online with someone and they said to me, oh, I don't make drip coffee. I make a pour over coffee. And I said, what's a pour over? I mean, I've heard of espresso before, espresso based drinks, right? I've heard of a French press. I've heard of, you know, your typical drip coffee. I've heard of like steeping coffee. I've heard of many different methods of making coffee, but I actually hadn't heard of the pour over method. And I did a little research and I looked into it and I sort of thought, oh, that seems fairly straightforward and easy. So I mentioned it to my brother and I said, hey, have you heard of this pour over? Apparently it makes the coffee really good. And he's like, what do you mean? The method that they used to do before the coffee maker was invented? And I said, well, I don't know. It seems to be something that coffee professionals are really into. I'm gonna try it out. So I did a little more research into it. I looked into it, and it's really what it sounds like. You're literally pouring hot water over top of your coffee grinds. So you can either grind your own beans, which would be my preferred method. It's what I also do for my drip coffee maker. Or you can just buy pre-ground coffee and you put it in a filter and you pour the hot water over it. It's pretty much that straightforward. Now, I looked into it. I was like, why is this so special? Why are people interested in this? And as I did a bit more digging, I sort of realized it's really because of the control that you have over the brewing process. So when you use a drip coffee maker, especially if you're using a cheaper drip coffee maker, it just sort of dumps all your water over top of your grinds and the water soaks through and pours into the pot or the cup or whatever. You don't really have much control over how evenly that water gets spread, how much comes out at once, how hot the water is. It's just sort of set to whatever temperature that coffee maker sets the water to. With a pour over, you have a lot more control over the actual brewing process. So you take a kettle and you heat up the water. If you want to be really particular about it and make the perfect cup of coffee, then you should have a kettle that has like a thermometer on it because you want to get it to an exact temperature for the coffee. You get it to that exact temperature. You take your beans, grind them, and then you take your coffee grinds and you put them into sort of a mini filter. And these mini filters just sit inside of, it sort of looks like a funnel, but it's made to sit on top of a coffee cup, a single cup. So you set that funnel on top of your cup with the filter inside of it. If you want to be really perfectionist with it, you can make sure that the filter is rinsed under water beforehand just to get any of the paper taste out of the filter. So you put the filter in the funnel thing on top of the cup, and then you take your water, which hopefully is at the perfect temperature when you're about to pour it, and then you pour it slowly over top of the grinds. Now, people will say that it's much better to use a gooseneck kettle because the gooseneck allows for, it's a very small neck on the kettle. It allows for much finer control of how much water you're pouring exactly. I don't have a gooseneck kettle. I don't have a thermometer on my kettle. So I just sort of let the water sit for a little bit till I think it's the right temperature, and I try and pour it over slowly without the gooseneck. So I'm definitely not making the perfect cup of coffee. But it is cool because you can sort of see where you're pouring the coffee on the grinds. You can make sure that you're not pouring too much at once, and you can make sure that it's all getting saturated evenly, so you're not just pouring the water through in one area or another. And because of this, a pour over is supposed to taste much more rich, and it's supposed to really taste more like the coffee, and you're supposed to get more of those good tastes and aromas and stuff out of the beans, because you can make sure that you get that water all over every part of the coffee grind so that they can brew sort of in a perfect, even consistency. And it's supposed to taste much better. So far, I'm not going to lie, I haven't noticed a huge difference, but maybe it's because I don't have the right temperature water, or I don't have great beans yet. I'm still on the hunt for some really good beans, and I have a couple I'm trying out right now. So in our next episode, I'm going to be talking about some of those, but we'll see. I'm not so set on the pour over method yet. I don't mind it because I can make just one cup fairly quickly. Some people say it takes more time than drip. If you factor in the amount of time it takes for the coffee to actually drip, it's actually probably quicker, a bit more manual labor involved, but I don't mind it. So I don't know. Do you make a pour over coffee? If you do, leave us a comment, let us know. Maybe we're missing something here, but I don't know. I'm not set on it yet, but we'll see. Okay, enough with coffee. That's all we're going to talk about coffee for today. Let's get into our second section of this podcast, and let's talk about tech. So recently, I have been working from home much more than usual. I mean, I like to work from home to start with. It's sort of something that I've always done as much as I could. I really am a big believer in working from home. I think that a lot of businesses out there don't necessarily need to be spending all this money on office space. People can work from home. A lot of people are much more happy working from home because they have more freedom around their schedule. And I think it's great. But one thing that I find really lacks with the work from home experience in a company's culture is having face-to-face meetings. And I don't think it needs to be as bad as it is, but I think us as a society and as a culture are not really used to having virtual meetings yet. And whether it's a technology thing or not, like most people are pretty good with the virtual conferencing softwares out there nowadays, right? Like Zoom is a popular one. Microsoft Teams, a lot of organizations are using. And I think people are getting more comfortable with the actual functionalities of these things. I don't think it's necessarily that. I think it's more that people aren't engaging the same way that they would if they were face to face. And there's two big parts to that, in my opinion. One of which, probably the bigger part actually, is the video. I hop into meetings with 10 people who I'd normally be face to face with in a boardroom, and nobody wants to turn on their camera. It's like, come on guys, we all stare at each other in the boardroom, but oh no, we're in front of a camera now, we can't turn that on. So that's something that I want to talk more about as well, but I'll talk about that in a future episode. The other part of it is the audio. Everyone's on mute, right? Because if everybody's not on mute, there's either 3 or 4 people whose kids are screaming upstairs in the background, or their computer's making a humming noise, their fans are going crazy, all you can hear is the fans on their computer. There's all kinds of reasons why people want to be on mute, but that experience of everybody being on mute really kills the realism of the meeting, right? Like if you're in a boardroom and someone sneezes, you hear it. If you're in a boardroom and someone's whispering, you hear it. Or if someone's just talking lightly to a coworker beside them, you hear it. Like these are all things that add that like in-person element and that real feeling to the meeting that you're missing out on virtually if everyone's sitting on mute. It's just dead air and all you hear is the person who's speaking. And then there's this awkward delay when the person who's speaking stops talking, and then the next person needs to chime in, and there's this like 5 second, or maybe not 5 seconds, but 2 or 3 second dead air where someone has to go, I gotta mute mine, and this other person's gotta unmute theirs, and then it's just quiet. And that really kills the flow of the meeting too, right? So I think in a perfect world, everybody has a proper audio setup so that we don't have to all be on mute. You can chime in whenever you want. You might hear a little bit of background noise, but it shouldn't be loud enough that it actually can interfere with the meeting. And we'll talk about how you can achieve that. And you can do all this for a fairly affordable budget. It's not anything that has to cost you, you know, hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars. For a couple hundred dollars, which is really the same price you would pay for a solid camera and headset that you could use as a microphone, you can get a professional audio setup that is like podcast grade recording audio, right? This is the stuff that I'm using to record this podcast. And you could use it just for your meetings, because it would add that much more professionalism to your meetings, to your voice. It would make you sound much more professional. And it would also, if everybody was investing a little bit into this, we could have these real rich meetings that are much closer to what we would experience if we were face to face. So how do you do this? There's a couple big things. One, you can never use the integrated microphone in your laptop. It's just, you can't do it. Because your laptop's going to be working hard to be processing this meeting. And your laptop will probably have fans in it. Some don't, but a lot of them do still. Those fans are going to make noise. Your microphone's going to pick that up. You're going to be typing on the keyboard. You're going to be setting your hand down on the desk. All these noises are going to be picked up because your laptop's sitting on your desk, right? And it's just a poor quality microphone. It has to be, because it needs to be small enough for them to fit in that laptop with everything else that's in there. Okay, so you need to have a microphone that's not in your laptop. There's lots of USB microphones that you can just plug in and use. Again, make sure you read the manual on actually using those and you're using them properly. Some of them need to be spoken to from the end, some of them from the side. So just make sure you're actually using your mic properly if you do buy one of those. But that's not what I would recommend. I would actually recommend going with a professional microphone. And there's one big reason for this, and it's the reason why I actually upgraded my microphone. I bought a USB microphone. I bought a higher end USB microphone because I wanted to sound good. And I still wasn't happy with it because it picked up way too much background noise. If my kids started screaming or someone walked by or I just set my hand down on the desk, it would hear all of that, and it was really annoying and part of the reason why I would have to be on mute normally. So I actually ended up upgrading from that, and what I thought was going to be an expensive upgrade actually cost me about the same it did to buy that mic initially. So it wasn't that bad. And what I actually upgraded to, it's a Rockstar's microphone, a microphone that people use in as backup singers or as a lead vocalist in a rock band, and that's the SM57. It's a cardioid dynamic microphone. So what does that mean? I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty details of the technology, but the cardioid basically means it's got the part inside that records the audio vibrations going into the microphone are directed in a way such that they can only pick up audio from one direction. And typically that'll be the end of the microphone, like you're talking right into the end of it. It is dynamic, which is just a technology that allows you to record the audio. But a dynamic microphone typically does not pick up very much background noise, especially when it's combined with that cardioid input method. It can really only pick up noise that's very close to it and that's being spoken directly into the end of it. Okay, so that's good for any background noise. I even have a mechanical keyboard, which is a keyboard that makes clicks every time you type on the keys. And before, this was very loud in any of my meetings and very obnoxious. And if I was talking and trying to type something at the same time, all people could hear is the clickety, clickety, clickety. Now it's much better. I can give you a little example here. So I'm going to type on my keyboard like normally how I would type. Okay, so I'm typing now. You're probably going to hear this, but it's not going to be nearly as loud as my voice. And then even if I'm pounding on my keys, like I'm really typing hard now, okay? I would never type this hard, but that's just to give you an audio of what that sounds like, what my keyboard sounded like. So that's one area that it'll reduce noise. But even if my children are screaming upstairs, and my wife's trying to calm them down, or someone yells at me, it's very faint and it's in the background and you really can't hear it very much, especially if it's further away. My furnace starts running, my air conditioner starts running, you can't hear that at all. And this is all just because of the technology of the microphone. Now you're probably going, okay, this is probably like $1,000 microphone. No, it's not. I actually paid. So I bought a higher end mic. This is, like I said, one that is used, is very popular with rock bands and stuff like that. They actually use it as their microphone. So it's a solid microphone. I paid $130 for this microphone. You can get dynamic cardioid microphones for as low as like $30 on Amazon. They won't have the best audio. They won't give you the best sound from your voice, but there are some that actually do a very good job for the price. But they will have that dynamic cardioid effect, which will solve all your background noise issues. Now, the only caveat here with the dynamic cardioid microphones is that they all use a technology called XLR. And that's just the type of cable that you plug into them. You may have seen these before if you ever played in a band or anything like that. They're these big fat black cables that have like a metal end on them. And the metal end has like three prongs in it that plug into another metal end, the end of the microphone. And that does not plug into your computer. That won't plug into a USB port. So what you have to do with that is you have to plug it into something called a preamp. And what a preamp does is it is because the dynamic cardioid mic is so quiet to start with, and it only picks up audio very close to it, the preamp does two things. One, it boosts the sound signal so that your audio can easily be heard by whoever's listening to you. And the preamp also converts that XLR signal from the XLR cable into a USB signal. So on the back of it, there's a USB that then plugs into your computer, and then it just works like a USB microphone on your computer. Okay, so you do have to have a preamp if you're using some sort of dynamic cardioid microphone that is XLR based. There are some dynamic cardioid microphones that have both an XLR and a USB on them. And those would be awesome if you're just starting out and you don't want to go the preamp route. You just want to go straight into your computer. But let me tell you, a preamp does make your sound sound really good, and it helps you with that extra little boost that you might need with a dynamic cardioid microphone. Anyway, the preamp, it's not a deal breaker. I think I paid $170 or $180 for mine. Again, it was probably a little more than you could get a budget one for. You could probably get a budget one for like around $120 that would do a pretty good job. So all in all, you're looking at under $250, and I'm talking Canadian dollars here, for a full professional setup. Most of the microphones will come with their own little stand. If you want to have a nice boom arm stand so that you can have it up on the arm and not on your desk, so that, again, it reduces noise from the desk, you can buy a boom arm on Amazon for $20 to $30 Canadian. They're not that expensive. And then you have a professional level audio setup. And it's very easy to set up. It's very straightforward. You plug the microphone into the preamp, you plug the preamp USB into the computer, and you're set up. So that is my recommendation for awesome audio. And then along with that, there's one last thing I want to mention, is that you should be wearing headphones. So any audio that's coming out of your laptop or out of your computer, you don't want that going back into the microphone. Even though the dynamic cardioid microphone is pretty good for not picking up background noise, if you have speakers right there that are loud going right at, you know, you, which is where your microphone is, there will be some background noise from that. So you typically always want to be wearing headphones when you're in a meeting, or earbuds, or something that is taking the audio from your computer and putting it directly into your ears so that your microphone won't be picking it up. Okay. And then that's all you need. You have a perfect professional level audio setup for your meetings. And you can really help to add to that realism and that virtual experience that will help us all sort of stay sane in these virtual times. Okay. And finally, I want to talk about our gaming section. I'm going to keep this short and sweet today because I'm going to talk lots more about this game in future episodes. But Rogue Company, it is an awesome game. So if you are into third-person games that are sort of casual, but also competitive. Small teams, 4v4. You're going to love this game. So it's the first third-person game that's been really professionally and well done that I've seen in quite some time. And it is just, it's blown me away. It's developed by First Watch Games, and they are published by Hi-Rez Studios. So you might have heard of Hi-Rez Studios before if you're into the gaming scene. They are a publisher that has also done games such as Smite, and some other first-person shooter games. Rogue Company, though, third-person shooter, fast-paced. Games are short. You can play a game in 10 to 15 minutes. It is on all consoles. So you can play on Xbox, you can play on PS4, you can play on Nintendo Switch, you can play on Windows. And you can all play together cross progression. So if you play on your PS4 and then you hop onto your PC and play, all your account data will be synced. You don't have to level up two different characters. The whole gist of the game is 4v4, fight someone in one of three of the game modes. They have three different game modes on one of several maps. I think currently they have about 9 maps out, and they're going to be releasing more. They're constantly releasing content. And then you pick your character that you want to play. So they have these characters, and the characters are called rogues. And the rogues have different abilities based on which rogue they are. But they don't; those abilities don't take away from the shooting aspect of the game. I'm not a big fan of games where there's all kinds of abilities, and then you got to learn all these abilities, and you can't even focus on shooting people because people are throwing all these weird abilities at you. There's only one ability that the rogue has, and then they have sort of a passive ability that's always there with them. But that's all. And then you got your weapons and your loadouts. Now the weapons are tied to the classes, so you don't have to worry about people using all different kinds of weapons. If they're that character, they're using a specific weapon or one of two weapons. You can pick one of the two primaries that character is able to use. And yeah, it's fun. It's fast paced. It's competitive. They're releasing a ranked mode soon, so you can actually play more competitively if you want. It's got a, what else? It's got a battle pass coming, and the game's all about cosmetics. Like I think their motto is make money, save the world, look good, or something like that. And the look good piece, I have to agree, they've done an amazing job with. The menus look great, the maps look great, the characters look great, and the skins that are going to come out, I can't wait to see the skins coming out. Anyway, that's a very high level overview. I'm going to get into the game more and give you very specific details of this game as I get more into it. But check it out. Rogue Company is the name of the game. If you're into third-person shooters, small teams, 4v4, you're going to love this game. I would say it's probably a mix of, like, I don't know, Gears of War with Counter-Strike with, like, Overwatch, but like it doesn't have all the abilities of Overwatch. I don't even want to compare it with Overwatch because it's not Overwatch at all. It's more Counter-Strike than Overwatch, but it's got like that fun cartoony feel of Overwatch, but not too cartoony. I don't know. You got to try it. Rogue Company, check it out. All right. That is it for this episode. I hope you can try out a drip coffee at some point. Give me your feedback on that. Let me know how it goes. I hope that everybody can upgrade their audio setup. Even if you don't go all the way for a dynamic cardioid mic with a preamp, at least get yourself a nice microphone that's not attached to your laptop. And also, please wear headphones. And finally, Rogue Company. Like I said, it's an awesome game. You got to check it out. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Have a good day, evening, morning, whatever time may be for you. And I'll catch you in the next episode of the Java Dad Cast.